You know, you have to say to yourself that, you know, I'm going to plan, as an example, a January seminar and a February seminar before my January seminars even, you know, finished. So you have to have faith. You know, number one, you have to have a plan. I mean, you know, you have to have a goal. You have to have a sequential process that you're going to follow. And you have to be willing from time to time to go back and revisit what you've done. You know, again, it goes back to bringing good people into your life that can help you critique, you know, what you've done, so that when you get down, as we all do, you know, stress, frustration, financial challenges, you don't let that, you know, basically derail you from your big picture.
You are listening to Wealthy Advisor Mindset Podcast, a show dedicated to helping financial advisors grow their AUM while enjoying a great quality of life by creating a high performance mindset. Guiding you on this podcast is none other than Nina Cook, a seasoned mindset coach who has worked with hundreds of business owners over the last decade to dissolve all their self-sabotaging behaviors and habits to achieve their business goals so they can have a much bigger impact and make much more money. Throughout the show, we'll deliver actionable strategies to grow your practice more easily and quickly, while revealing the incredible possibilities that emerge when you tap into your best self. Ready for a breakthrough that amplifies your impact and profits? Let's dive in.
Lee, welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you here. Before we dive into the call, let me just tell our listeners a little bit about you. Lee Hyder is from Northeast Ohio. He's been in the financial services industry for 32 years as a life annuity advisor. For the last 12 years, he's been in AUM, managing $80 million. He has a boutique firm, and his goal is to work with clients efficiently to create long-lasting client relationships. His company is called Lee Hyder & Associates Wealth Management. And as well as managing all that AUM, he's also written 8 books, and he teaches at 3 major Northern Ohio universities. He teaches retirement planning and asset management. So he's a very busy guy, and we're very lucky to have him here today. Lee, it's such a pleasure to have you. And we're really going to be, what we want to do is explore an area which I think is often overlooked for financial advisors, but which is the foundation of their success, and that is their mindset. Because often they're thinking about strategies and services and processes, and all of that stuff is really important because we want to make our lives as efficient as possible and deliver the best service to our clients. But the mindset piece sometimes gets ignored, and I feel that this is what we want to shine the light on in this podcast, and that's why I'm so pleased to have you here with us today. So before we dive into mindset, can you share a little bit about your story and how you've come to be doing this amazing work that you're doing and having all the success that you're having?
Sure. I'd like to say that this was a well-orchestrated plan, sequentially following every written step along the way, but that would really be a significant exaggeration. I kind of fell into this business many, many years ago. Even before I had an insurance license, I kind of got caught in somebody's net on an internet classified ad. And it was kind of, you know, learn how to make a lot of money and not work really hard. And, you know, who doesn't want to respond to something like that? So to make a long story short, I found my first venture into the industry as a health insurance salesman, going into people's home, talking about health insurance. And the company that I worked with had a unique compensation plan that they would basically immediately advance you the commission you earned from today's sale, which sounded pretty good because all of a sudden I was getting paid a lot of money. And then I realized 6 to 8 weeks later, when the health insurance policies were getting issued, they were being rated and people were not necessarily getting everything that they hoped they would get, nor everything that I actually thought they were entitled to get. I was introduced to the chargeback situation, that somebody would all of a sudden not accept the policy that I was paid on weeks before. And before I knew it, as successful as I was, I found myself in debt to these health insurance companies for thousands of dollars of getting advanced. Then, as luck would have it, I fell into another classified ad. If you're in the health insurance business, you're leaving money on the table. And I responded to that ad And it was an organization that was just starting out doing living trusts, and they were doing seminars where they were just, at that time, seminars were kind of a new little thing in the industry. And we would mail out just a couple thousand invitations, have somebody come to a hotel, give them nothing other than a plastic cup and a pitcher of water. And we would talk about the benefits of a living trust because we worked with law firms that would ultimately do the work. And it was really amazing. I mean, we would mail out literally just a couple hundred or a couple thousand invitations, and we would get hundreds of people to these events. And I got introduced to living trusts, estate planning. And when somebody did a living trust, the next thing they had to do was fund the living trust, which was putting the assets inside the trust. And to do that, they would expose their financial positions to us, and we would see opportunities to help offer products. And at that particular time, we were offering life insurance and annuities. And again, as fate would have it, I went to a meeting. I can remember it very clearly. I think it was December 10th of 2010. And I was introduced really to assets under management. And up until this point, you know, I was kind of brainwashed a little bit that, you know, that everybody kind of who was selling what I would refer to as safe money investment strategies, that the stock market and stockbrokers were bad people, which made it very easy to kind of have blinders on and sell annuities and life insurance. But then I really got introduced to assets under management and diversification and portfolios and risk mitigation and all of these things. And I jumped into assets under management. And it became a very profitable and exciting business. We grew our assets very, very quickly. And we started off doing dinner seminars because that's what we did in the annuity and life insurance business. So I just transitioned what I talked about at a seminar from, you know, safe money strategies and life insurance to asset management portfolios. Then we transitioned. We did our first $18 million, I think, in assets under management doing dinner seminars. Then we transitioned into teaching at universities, and we weren't teaching students. We were teaching through the continuing education departments that would mail out 10 to 12,000 invitations to the community. It was typically a two-day educational event that somebody would attend 3 hours a day, and they would pay for that class. And we would also have an attorney talk about estate planning. We would have a CPA talk about taxes. We would talk about financial planning. And at the conclusion of the program, your tuition included an opportunity to meet with me, my CPA, and my attorney. And that's how we grew the latter $60 million in additional assets. So that's kind of where we were. We published, as you said, I think it's either 8 or 9 books that are on Amazon, as well as a free download on our website. And they also became a very good future lead magnet on Facebook and other marketing campaigns offering particular books for particular, you know, financial topics. Here we wake up, 68 years of age, 32 years in the business, you know, kind of very, very thankful for reoccurring revenue.
Amazing. You make it sound like it was very smooth, all of these transitions. Did you always think big? Or was it something that you were fearful about making these changes? Did you have lots of doubt? So what was it like for you? What was going on in your head at these times when there was, you know, huge opportunities for growth? Did you ever feel resistance? Did you feel scared of the opportunity of growth? Or did you grab it with both hands?
I think I wrestled with both. You know, I think my transition, my tracking is probably very similar to a degree to most of your listeners here. I started off, as I would respectfully say, as a trunk warrior. You know, my entire office was in the trunk of my car. My biggest expense at that particular time was sending out maybe 5 or 10 birthday cards. Maybe I don't think I even had a copy machine in the very beginning, and I would spend my Sunday evenings at Kinko's. You know, then I took my first major step, which seemed monumental, and I think I was leasing a copy machine for like $300 a month. I mean, it was just this mammoth machine. And then I spent a couple $1,000s actually redesigning my basement into an office so that when I went there, you know, I didn't feel like I was walking past the hamper and a washing machine. I felt like I was going to work. And then as kind of transitions, you know, happen, I kind of went to an event and they spoke about credibility and they spoke about having an office. And It was scary, sure. You know, I can remember, you know, the first lease I signed. I mean, I never had an office before. I never had a five-year financial commitment other than a car payment. And here I was looking at an office, actually having to create a staff. I mean, I knew nothing about managing people. So, yeah, it was very scary. But, you know, I think that, you know, I've always wanted more. You know, I didn't necessarily know how to get it, you know, but I always thought that I was meant for something a little bigger than, you know, working out of the trunk of my car and sending birthday cards to clients occasionally. And so I, you know, took the leap of faith. And I think that's really what it takes. I think you have to have faith in yourself. I think you have to have faith in the people you surround yourself with as coaches or people that are going to, you know, give you advice and kind of be your Sherpas along the way. And, you know, 32 years later, you know, here I am, and I'm excited to say I'm bringing my son into the business, and, you know, hopefully he'll have a easier transition. I think there's a little more stress, though, in today's market, you know, than it was 25 years ago because of social media. It's very tough to get your message heard today. So you've really got to be looking for creative strategies.
Yeah. You were talking about the golden days when seminars were just introduced and you would mail out a small mailing and all these people would show up. It's a very different picture now for many financial advisors, because things move on, don't they? Something that's new becomes old, everyone starts doing, and then everyone's looking for the next new thing and so on.
And the problem, I think, today in our business is, you know, every new thing you're going to try is very expensive. I mean, I just had a seminar a couple months ago. I mean, I think I spent like $8,000 just on the mail cost. And this has never happened to me before, literally in all of my years, but virtually not one registration. Now, again, the mail house is going to blame it on the post office. The post office is going to blame it on the mail house. But at the end of the day, you know, we spent $8,000 on mail and had to cancel both events. Another challenge I think we have today is really separating the people that really can mentor and Sherpa you along the way, because today everybody's an expert on the internet. I mean, as a matter of fact, as I sit here today, I'm looking to try to find, you know, people to help me in a certain software program that I'm working with. And the challenge is when you just put maybe that name as a consultant into the internet, all of a sudden you have an endless list of people and everybody is an expert and they all want to just swipe your credit card and they all offer you a money back guarantee, which is only as good as the people behind the offer to begin with. So it's very, very tough to find people that really can help you get clarity and focus and a direction going forward today.
Yeah, that is such a big point, and I'd like to come back to that. But first of all, you mentioned there's more stress today, and you know you're bringing your son into the business, and he may be in a very different environment than when you started out. How do you deal with stressful situations? You know, how do you deal with those times when things don't go according to plan? For example, when you know you sent out the invites for the seminar, you didn't get anything back. You know, so how do you deal with setbacks? Do you bounce back quite quickly? Does it take you a while to get over them? Do you have a particular strategy that you use?
Yeah, normally that's happy hour. And occasionally, depending on the level of stress, happy hour may start a little earlier and it may actually last longer than an hour. Yeah. But all joking aside, it really does go back to a mindset, you know, and it was interesting when you and I spoke about this upcoming call. You know, I really questioned, would I have any value to, you know, to your particular people, because I didn't really see myself as anything special or having any particular mindset, you know, but through our conversation, I guess I've gotten a little bit, maybe a little more insight. I think it really starts off with belief. You know, you have to really believe that, number one, you have something of value to offer. And I mean, if you really don't believe in what you're doing, then I think it becomes very easy at every roadblock, you know, to find an excuse not to do it. And what I tell people as it relates to seminars, as I'm telling my son, you know, you can't wait for the results of your first seminar to determine when you will do the next event, because it takes maybe 5 to 6 weeks to set these events up. So your pipeline would go absolutely dry if I'm going to wait for the results of an upcoming seminar to determine what I will do next. So it really takes a leap of faith. You know, you have to say to yourself that, you know, I'm going to plan, as an example, a January seminar and a February seminar before my January seminars even you know, finished. So you have to have faith. You know, number one, you have to have a plan. I mean, you know, you have to have a goal. You have to have a sequential process that you're going to follow. And you have to be willing from time to time to go back and revisit what you've done. You know, again, it goes back to bringing good people into your life that can help you critique, you know, what you've done, so that when you get down, as we all do, you know, stress, frustration, financial challenges, you don't let that, you know, basically derail you from your big picture. And I think that's really what it has to be. You have to have a big picture. Your business, your life, your financial career, you know, is not based on what happens in March or what happens in April. You know, it really is molded and shaped by what your goal is for the next 12 months. So if a particular month doesn't work out the way you want, well, maybe what you have to do is double down the next month and work a little harder, maybe spend a little more money. But you always want to be examining things, because what I say is if you can't measure something, you can't manage it. And if you can't manage it, you can't improve it. So you've got to be able to go back and look at your footprints. You know, what footprints, you know, did I leave in the sand or in the snow behind me? And do I want to follow those particular footprints going forward? Or do I really need to kind of make some kind of course correction along the way? And that's kind of what I do. So I do a lot of self-reflection.
Yeah, that's very, very key. You said that you have to believe that you have value to offer. For the advisors who are listening in who doubt their own value, who think their competition are better than them, no one's going to, you know, want to work with them, that stuff. How can they start to believe in their own value if they don't have that belief at the moment?
You know, I guess it's like what people have always said, you know, you have to fake it to make it. You know, one of the things that I wrestle with, and I really do, you know, is I don't think I'm nearly as smart or as well prepared or as sophisticated as maybe a lot of people perceive me to be. You know, it's hard for me to say, but I mean, a lot of times I consider myself a fake. And what I mean by that is it's just, you know, how did I build what I built? Now, again, you know, a lot of advisors watching this, you know, $80 million is a small block of business. But again, I have a very profitable business because it's just me, just my assistant. You know, so to me, it's about profitability. I mean, I can be more profitable at 80 million than people I know with 300 million that have two offices, built an office building and have, you know, eight staff members. But again, it goes back to, you know, somehow or another, you have to have a talk with yourself, maybe in a dark room or looking in a mirror. And you have to really acknowledge the fact that, you know, for example, maybe you don't have the skill sets, maybe you don't have the tools, and then eventually you acquire those tools. But I think you have to look at small successes that you've had along the way. And I think quite often we don't do that. You know, I think we are very quick to discount what we have accomplished in the past, and we write it off as, well, anybody could have done that. That was really not a big deal. But the truth is, in an analytical evaluative moment, there's a lot of people that would not have been able to necessarily do what I or others have done. So I think by kind of every so often stopping and really looking at what you've done. You live in a beautiful house. There was a day that you lived in an apartment. You have a beautiful car. There was a time in your life that you had a rusty car. You have a marriage, maybe a second marriage. I mean, you've got wonderful family. You've got friends. Those are all kind of trophies in their own way for things you've accomplished. And I think you need to look at business in the same sense. Maybe you don't have 80 million. You know, maybe you've got 3 million, but there was a day that you had no million. So even that 3 million is a significant improvement. So I think you have to stop along the way and just simply compliment yourself for those small achievements. And a lot of small achievements turn into big successes, just like a lot of pennies turn into dollars and dollars turn into a lot of money.
Are you frustrated with your inability to take the next steps to grow your practice? And worry that your same old tired strategies don't seem to work any longer? If this is you, then listen up. Nina has spent the last two decades coaching financial advisors and has cracked the code to growing AUMs, hitting bigger profits in your business, and achieving a higher quality of life. You can now get access to those secrets in her game-changing book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. In the book, Nina will share her proven process for success to take you from chasing clients to attracting high-paying ones by creating a success-driven mindset. So, if you're struggling with stagnation, then this could give you the breakthrough you've been searching for.
This is different to anything you may have come across before. For being an awesome listener to this podcast, our team would like to gift you a free copy of the book, Renegade Mindset, a financial advisor's guide to a peak performance mindset. You can get your free copy at ninabook.org. You only have to pay for shipping and handling. Once again, the link to get a free copy of this book is ninabook.org. The link is also in the description. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to grow your AUM and stop hustling for your next client. Now, back to the show.
You're right. We do tend to focus on the negatives. We dismiss all the good stuff. And scarcity and lack. Well, I don't have that yet, and I'll be happy when I have that. But that's not how it works, is it?
No, and I think a lot, myself included, I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, when a client calls, you know, the first thing we say, especially if it's a big client, there's a problem, you know, and I don't know why our mind drifts to that. And I think it drifts to that because we have fear. We have fear of scarcity. You know, we think that the client is going to leave us for some particular reason. So, you know, even people that are fairly successful, I think sometimes, you know, just like you say, go to the black side very, very quickly.
The old conditioned thinking.
Absolutely.
What do you believe is, if you could say there's one thing more than any other that's helped me to build my success, what would that one thing be for you?
It would be not to be scared of failure. Mm-hmm. I mean, failures really are our stepping stone. You know, there is nobody you see on the internet, nobody you see on the cover of a magazine that was born there. Everybody has a story. Everybody has trials and tribulations. Everybody has failures. But at the end, I think if you talk to any successful people, you know, they will all tell you the same thing. I mean, it somehow started with an idea, you know, that maybe a lot of people laughed at. You know, maybe there wasn't a lot of encouragement, but they had a belief, they had a passion, they had a desire to go in a different direction. And through those small accomplishments, they've achieved it. You know, so I think it's really just number one, you know, what do you want? It's not about money. I think in the very beginning, it's about money, but you have to really decide yourself, what do you really want? You know, looking back, you know, I'm amazed. I hold client educational events quite often, and I'm just amazed that we've put out a message that literally every client educational event will get anywhere from 70 to 100 clients. Then one day I said, you know, I'd like to really help a local homeless organization. And there's a wonderful group in our town. And we just said casually to our people, we would ask you to kind of, you know, be as kind and think about people that are not as fortunate as you. And when we hold these educational events, bring a can of beans, bring an old shirt you're not wearing, bring something. And I'm continually blown away years later. The thousands of pounds of materials and items that people have brought in for donation, you know, and I would have never thought that happens. And every time I do that, I just, you know, hold up a can of whatever they've brought. And I thank them because, again, all of a sudden they bought into a vision that I had that at the inception of it was something small and insignificant. But we've turned out to be one of the largest organizations in this particular town on a consistent basis, donating literally thousands of pounds of food items and articles of clothing. So it everything really starts from something small. Nobody wakes up successful. Nobody wakes up successful who hasn't had failure. But the difference is they didn't let their failure define them.
Yes. And that's a wonderful story. That's a very heartwarming story. And it makes me think about the seed. So we have a seed of an idea, and there's two things we can do. We can either just say, yeah, I'll get around to implementing that one day, or we can say, I'm going to do that. That's so exciting. I'm going to implement it now. So there will be people who are listening in. They're saying, okay, you know, I have ideas and I want to do things and get things done, but I'm so distracted and overwhelmed. There's so much to do. There's admin, there's problems to sort out. And I never really get to do or get time to work on my goals, my big goals. And the day just runs away with me. So how, you know, what is the secret to be able to focus on the stuff that matters to grow and not, you know, and be able to discard the other stuff, which just eats up our time?
You know, I think it's a choice. You know, I think every day you need to wake up and you need to make a decision. Now, what I tend to do the night before, I'm kind of one of these obsessive compulsive people that lives with spreadsheets and to-do lists and things of that nature. You know, so to me, you know, if you go on a vacation, you know what airline. When you get to the airport, you know what gate. When you get off the plane in a foreign country, you know where you're going and you know what hotel, and you get there because you have a plan. It's no different in your business. I mean, you can't wing it. You have to make a decision on, number one, what do you want to do? Number two, you know, what is the specific strategy that you're going to incorporate? And then when you break down the strategy, what are the individual action steps that you need to take? And you have to hold yourself accountable. I mean, the nice thing about business is, you know, you get to judge, you know, have you accomplished everything you want to accomplish? And you can come up with one of two answers. You could lie to yourself and say yes, or you can be honest and say no. And if the answer is no, then you really have to look at a very simplistic time management process. And you've got to say, really, where am I wasting my time? I mean, am I on Facebook too much? Am I doing worthless emails that could be handled a little differently? But I think you need to wake up every day with a specific game plan of what are the three most important steps you want to accomplish today. And, you know, hold yourself accountable, you know, set up a little game, you know, don't go to Facebook until you complete step number one, you know, then give yourself an opportunity to, you know, distract yourself as a reward, but make that reward time limited. So I'm only going to give myself an hour after I accomplish step one. After I reward myself for that 1 hour, I'm now not going to reward myself again until I complete step number two. So you can't get anywhere unless you know where you want to go, and you can't figure out how to get there unless you have a roadmap. So I think you've got to have some kind of daily roadmap in what it takes. For an example, when I do a seminar, there are pieces to my seminar. Number one, where is the seminar going to be? So I've got to locate a restaurant. When I locate the restaurant, I've got to pick a menu. When I locate the restaurant, pick a menu, I've got to pick a date. Then I've got to come up with a mailer. Then I've got to come up with a PowerPoint. Then I've got to come up with handouts. So each one of those things are a line item, and I give myself a certain amount of time to accomplish those particular items, and I check them off, and they're done. If I just said I'm going to have a seminar, and I know there's a lot of little things I have to do, but I didn't really have a detailed list of the sequential steps, it's very easy not only not to complete them, but to get lost in some of the activities that you spoke about.
Yeah. And again, for someone like you, when you say it like that, it makes so much sense. There's so much logic to this. However, we can have the best intentions and then procrastination can hit us and we can put it off. And the accountability part is really important. When you're running your own practice, you don't have to be accountable to anyone. Obviously, the client work has to be done. But in terms of marketing, getting more leads, et cetera, all of that can be pushed into next week, into next week, into next week.
Sure.
So for, you know, the people who are listening and they're thinking, well, that all sounds great and I wish I could do that, you know, knock off the top three things off my to-do list every day and leave the office feeling very satisfied. But for the ones who procrastinate, I think it's because their why, their big goal isn't clear. It's not motivating them. It's not really resonating with them. It feels fuzzy. What do you think?
I'm going to go down an area that I typically wouldn't share, but I lost my why when I got a divorce, and it was tough. I mean, you know, I spent 20 plus years with a wonderful person, and we planned vacations and holidays and things together. And when I got a divorce and I was single, you know, all of a sudden I realized that I didn't have a reason. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I'm not really planning vacations, and I, you know, didn't have the kind of friend network that I really thought I wanted to have. And so I lost my why, and it was very tough. And I'll be very honest, my practice suffered in a way that it didn't grow. We still maintained a great relationship and had a lot of client activities, but I really took my eye off marketing, you know, because I kind of lost my why. I mean, I was making enough money, and I just didn't have a reason for that. And interestingly enough, you know, I met a fantastic woman, you know, a couple years ago, and she has really just, you know, created a whole nother why in my life. And it goes back to the foundation. You have to have a reason why. Without a reason why, nothing makes sense. And you can easily procrastinate because you're not holding yourself accountable. There was nothing really that important. It wasn't a big deal. So that if somebody doesn't have a real definitive reason why what they're doing, they don't have a goal they're chasing, it can be very, very tough. So, you know, all the seminars and all the books they read are wonderful, but you really have to internalize, you know, why am I doing this? You know, why am I studying? Why am I venturing my capital in this new direction? So, yeah, I can't agree with you more that there has to be a burning desire and you have to have clarity in why are you doing what you're doing and why are you wanting to build what you want to build.
It's really worth spending time on this first step, nailing it, because when times are tough, when you don't have the motivation, that why will see you through all those rocky patches. I've experienced it myself. And I would really encourage anyone who's listening who doesn't have that very strong why to spend time on figuring out what they really want. We talked about you not having fear of failure and that being one of the big drivers of your success. Have you ever had a fear of success?
No. I think success is something that you earn. I'm not scared of being successful. One of the things that I've decided in my life, being 68 years of age, I mean, I'm not like some other younger advisors that are trying to build a $300 or a $400 million practice. You know, at the end of the day, it goes back to the why. I mean, how much money do you need? And everybody, you know, has a different number, and that's fine. And I respect that. But I don't have fear of success. I'd like to maybe put on another $20 or $25 million, you know, not a, you know, significantly impressive goal, fairly easy to obtain once you, you know, look forward and just start marching ahead. But I'm not scared of success. I guess in a way, what keeps me working is a little bit of fear of kind of going backwards, you know, like a lot of people. I mean, and there's an equilibrium, you know, between, you know, we've got a sizable enough block of business that we're okay, but with people taking money out every year for their required distributions, for people passing away, for the normal attrition of clients, you know, there is a fear that you just can't stop working. So what motivates me a little bit every day is the fact that, you know, people die, people move on, you know, and I, you know, got to, you know, get back to work.
Yeah, it's maintaining that level of success and the lifestyle which that gives you. And it's not about the money. It's about the experiences, isn't it? You know, what can you experience with having that income? That is, for me, the big driver in life, not the amount of money in the bank account.
Yeah. What the money does, it's not the amount of money. It's what the money offers you. And what I mean by that is it just offers you the flexibility of making choices. Mm. If you don't have money, a lot of your opportunities are, you know, much less. It's harder to do the things you want to do, be it vacation or business related. So money just simply gives you an opportunity to do things without necessarily stressing about how are you going to pay for it.
Exactly. What would you say is the biggest lesson that life has taught you so far?
One of the biggest lessons that life has taught me, and I'm hoping to share it with my son, and, you know, this is kind of, you know, the advice of a 68-year-old person, is don't be scared of taking challenges. And it's a little embarrassing to say that there's a lot of things in my life that I have not done. You know, and I really look at it now and just, you know, and I'm not going to necessarily share what they are, but there's a lot more out there that was available to me. You know, not only business related, but recreationally and other areas that I honestly was scared of failure, scared of looking foolish in other people's eyes, and didn't do that. So I think the big lesson that I've learned from life, and I'm going to hopefully pass on to my son, is don't play it safe. You know, be willing, you know, to do something that scares the hell out of you, and don't rationalize the fact of not doing it because it's not a big deal. You know, I think there's just a lot to be said for conquering things that scare the hell out of you for no other reason other than to conquer those things. Because when you conquer those things, like we did the Tony Robbins fire walk, you know, which sounds kind of crazy, but I mean, you know, I walked across 25 feet of literally burning red hot embers. And the mindset that you get when you finish that is, you know, what other things have you said are impossible to do? I mean, who would think you could walk across red hot embers and not walk off the other side with incredible blisters, pain, and damage? And, you know, my feet were fantastic. You know, so that taught me, at least in that moment, that, you know, what other things have I told myself that I really can't do, that I shouldn't do, because they're just too dangerous? So my lesson is just, you know, embrace life, embrace challenges, and don't let the fear, you know, drive you into submission of not taking chances.
That's a great lesson. I love that. So how can our listeners find out more about you and the fantastic work you're doing?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily fantastic work or not, but if anybody would like to download any of my books or learn more about us, they could go to our website, which is a pretty easy website to find. It's LeeHyder.com. Everything is there from our materials. They can sign up for our newsletters. We have a lot of outbound materials and references and things. And we have a national practice, so we could certainly help people anywhere across the United States. I'm not necessarily sure about the international link or not, but, you know, we'd love an opportunity to, you know, if nothing else, you know, share my I'm not going to say success, but share my journey with anybody who would like any more personal information or guidance or coaching, you know, who may actually stumble across, you know, your fantastic podcast.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your honesty. Your modesty, your integrity shine through. And it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. And for everyone who's been listening, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. See you next time. Bye-bye for now.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Wealthy Advisor Mindset. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform to get notifications on upcoming episodes. If this episode made you think of someone who you think would benefit from listening to it, then go ahead, take a screenshot, and share this episode with them, or post it on your social media to share with your friends and colleagues. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description. If you are a financial advisor who is struggling to grow your AUM and profits while creating a great work-life balance, and you know it's because your mindset is stopping you, or you have a specific challenge in mind that you would love Nina's feedback on, go to chatwithnina.org and grab a time that works best for you. We'd love to see if we can help you. Once again, it's chatwithnina.org. We will see you in the next episode.